good morning, everyone. God willing, this will be the last Sunday that we will be doing this. We hope that there are no other flare-ups later in the summer or fall or next winter that will necessitate this again, but only time will tell, I suppose. But it's great to be with you again on this Sunday morning, and we will be having some songs that we will play. They should be familiar to you. The words will be on the screen again this morning, allowing you to sing along at home. As far as our own brethren are concerned, I see on Facebook there were some of you who are tuning in from other parts of the country, and we are certainly welcoming you. We're glad to have you along this morning. As far as our own brethren are concerned, a week from today, we will be planning on starting back again with our services. At this point, we are planning on having Sunday morning only, no Sunday evening service yet, no Wednesday evening Bible study yet, proceeding with caution as we think we should do. And so we will have Bible class and worship as we normally do on Sunday morning, 9:30 for Bible class, 10:30 for the worship hour. We will be streaming it on Facebook. I know from talking to some, because of health reasons, they still do not feel comfortable coming out, and we totally understand that. We totally support that. And we don't want the fact that we are starting back with services again, we don't want anyone to feel pressured to come to the building if you are not yet ready to do that. Some are ready, some are not, but we will be meeting at the building. We will be spreading out in the auditorium as we did the last couple of Sundays before we stopped meeting altogether. And so the six-foot rule between families will be enforced. I say enforced, you understand what I mean, encouraged. We will be putting a pew between each and every one so that those who are serving the Lord's Supper can walk between the pews and serve everyone without having everyone to handle the plates. And so we will take the same precautions that we did before. We would encourage you, according to the guidelines, to wear masks into the building and out of the building the first couple of Sundays, and so we see how all of this goes. We're not requiring that, but that might be the best just for now. Once inside and once we start worshiping and are separated, I don't think the masks, of course, are necessary. But that's kind of the plan at this point. If any of the local brethren have questions about anything, please feel free to call me this week. And as we said, we're going to continue to stream those services. We'll stream the second hour for sure. If we have enough battery on the phone, we may stream both hours. If you would like to listen to the Bible class as well, maybe I can figure out a way to make my battery on my phone last that long. But anyway, we'll work on that, and that is the plan as of this time. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then after our prayer, we have a couple of more songs before we get into the lesson this morning. Shall we bow, please? Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful to you for another week, another Lord's Day that we can assemble in this way as we can study together, even though apart, with the technologies that have been provided to us in this modern world, where we can have lessons and we can have this time together, even though not really together. We pray, Father, that you will be with us, be with your people throughout the world, wherever they may be today. Some are listening from other parts of the country. We ask your blessings upon them and their families. We ask your blessings upon our members here and our church family here. We're especially mindful of some of our brothers and sisters who have long-term illness and challenges in their lives. We pray for Brother Sid that you would be with him and bless him. We pray for Janine Price. We pray for Ron Burkhalter. We pray for Ron and Dixie. We pray for Melba and her health challenges that she has from time to time. We pray for Brother Jerry Stanfield and his battle with cancer. We pray for others who have special needs that we may have forgotten this morning, but be with all of them, watch over them, care for them, and bless them in a very special way. We ask your blessings, Father, upon this time that we can spend together today, that the time that we spend, the songs that we sing, the lessons that we present will be helpful and beneficial to others and will be encouraging to each other. Father, we're so thankful for your Son, Jesus, and for the hope that we have through him. What a wonderful hope we have before us. We go through challenges and we go through trials in this life. And yet as we think about the trials and challenges of other generations, these things are small. Help us always to remember that and to keep our focus upon that. But help us, Father, as we live through this unusual time, we ask for the health of our congregation and people around the world. But Father, help us to focus upon your Son and live for your Son and do his will. Bless our congregation. Bless your people wherever they may be today. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus we pray.
Oh,
Well, this morning I would like to talk a little bit about the shed. This is a lesson that I got from a young man. I say young man, I don't know exactly his age. He's got young children, so he's significantly younger than I am. He's a faithful gospel preacher in Lindale, Texas. His name is Chris Emerson, and he has a podcast. This is the second year of his podcast, and Tyler Rice set me on to this. He told me about Chris's podcast. He does a weekly podcast, anywhere between 20 and 25 minutes. Some of you may not know, some of our members who are not into the newest tech may not know what a podcast is, but it's just like a sermon you can get on your phone and listen to. They download to your phone or to your computer. And there's lots of podcasts out there if you're not familiar with that term. For one of the older ones that doesn't computer too much, there's podcasts on every conceivable subject out there, from family matters to counseling to politics to sports to lawn and gardening to any subject you could think of. There's podcasts out there these days. And a number of gospel preachers have gotten to doing podcasts, just short messages that you can go and listen to. And Chris Emerson in Texas has been doing that for a couple of years. And Tyler put me on to him, as I said, and introduced me to his. And so I've been downloading those, and I've been listening to those. Some of them have been very, very good, very encouraging. And so I would recommend that if you do podcasts, if you're one of the younger ones that does podcasting and listens to things during the week, I would recommend Chris very much to you. Anyway, Chris had a podcast. Well, it's been a few weeks ago now, but it was in the middle of this. It's been in the middle of this COVID-19 epidemic that we've been all living through. And he did a podcast on cleaning out his shed. He and his family took the opportunity during the COVID-19 stay-at-home orders, doing some work around the house, to clean out the shed. And so Chris tells the story about cleaning out the storage shed in the backyard. And as he described that, most of us can relate to it. It was completely full, he said. It was overflowing. When you opened the door, stuff would fall out. If there was something in there that you were trying to get to or find, it was nigh to impossible to do that because it was so packed with stuff. And as I said, it's a story that we can all relate to. Most of us have drawers like that, or rooms like that, or storage sheds like that at some point. There are a few of us, not me, but there are a few of us that are so organized that they don't have those kind of places in their lives, but many of us do. And so maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you have a storage shed or a bedroom or a junk drawer or things that has gotten out of hand and needs some organizing. And so Chris was talking about that, and so he used, in talking about how they went through and cleaned that up, he used that as a metaphor for our lives. And I thought it was very effective, and so I'll talk about that for a few minutes and relay some things he talked about and then make some application points. And so I said I'm indebted to him today for these ideas. I thought they were very good and just wanted to share them with you as we live through this COVID-19 virus situation. And so he used that illustration as a metaphor for our lives and how our lives just get filled with stuff. Filled with stuff that fills up our schedules. We just keep adding more and more. We get more and more people maybe wanting our time or asking us to volunteer for this or that. I've heard husbands and wives talk about needing to cut back and how that in their lives that they have to learn to say no. Sometimes we have to learn to say no. But sometimes our lives just get so filled with so many things, we just pile in more and more. It gets disorganized, it gets out of control, and sometimes we don't take the time to reevaluate. But now, maybe we're in a situation that we have a special opportunity. We're living through this pandemic, and it's forced us to slow down a little bit. It's forced us to, because of the pandemic, we cannot do certain things that we normally were doing, whether it's going out to eat or even going to church services or some other things that we would do with friends or others, because we have to do the social distancing or we've been told to stay at home. And so let's talk about that a little bit this morning and see if we can learn some lessons as we think about the things that Chris presented and maybe can be helpful to us. And so the first thing is the cleaning or the sorting process. And Chris talked about in his podcast how that his family took everything out of the shed. And so the first part is the evaluation. The first part is the taking everything out of the shed, and he said they just dumped everything out on the lawn, and they started making piles. There was a pile of lawn and garden equipment, and there was a pile of old books. He said mostly school books, but maybe yours are fiction books you've already read, or nonfiction books you've already read, or old magazines that you think you're going to read again someday, and they just pile up in boxes, and now they're just in the shed. Maybe it's old clothing. We went through a period of time when we had lots of clothing in our basement in Minnesota. The kids would grow up and they would grow out of things, but many of the things that had been made for them, our mothers both had bought or made for our children, they were still practically brand new. Kids grow up so quickly, and some of them, you just don't want to throw them away. You can't throw them away. They're too good. And so Becky had boxes and boxes of children's clothes, and finally she went through them when we moved, and some things were given to Goodwill and some were given to other people, but those clothes and those boxes sat there for years and years. And you all have situations like that. They had baseball equipment and golf equipment in their piles because their kids were involved in golf and in baseball and those kind of things. A typical storage shed. And then he said he had the trash pile. And again, I think this is a pretty typical reaction. He said when he began the project, he expected that trash pile to be the biggest of all. But as it turned out, it was not the biggest of all. As it went through and he started putting things into piles, the trash pile was very small. And then it started to hit him, he said, that if that was all they threw away, that little trash pile was all they threw away, then when they reorganize and put it back into the shed, it might be more organized, but there'd be just as much stuff in the shed. And it really wouldn't help the situation any. And so sometimes as we reorganize our lives, we can reorganize our lives and get it a little bit more organized. But if we don't throw some stuff away, if we don't eliminate some things, if we don't start trimming back on some things, it's still just as full as it always was. Now, as we said, as we go through this period, we've had some limitations, haven't we? And it's caused some of us to stop and reevaluate our shed, to reevaluate our lives. Suddenly, as Chris put it, everything's been pulled out into the yard in the sense that we have not been able to go on as normal. And we suddenly realize I can't do this and I can't do that. Right now we have no church services. We will start again next week, but think about the process we've gone through. We haven't been able to assemble together. And we haven't been able to eat out. That's starting to open up here in Florida. Maybe if you're watching from another part of the country, it hasn't opened up yet. We're up to 50% seating now, and so Becky and I went out for her birthday this week for the first time in about a month as far as sitting down at a place. No one's been able to visit the gyms. There's been no school activities. There's been no school. There's been no PTA meetings. Some of those things that we're no longer involved in, but maybe you're still involved in with your children, just suddenly disappeared off of the calendar. No social activities, no Rays games, no Minnesota Twins games if you're living in Minnesota. Whatever the case may be, the things that we might be doing on Memorial Day, as we used to do, take the kids, go with some friends, and go to a Twins game on Memorial Day, things like, we're not doing that. There's no baseball. And we can't even watch live sports. There's no live sports on. I guess NASCAR has started without fans in the stands, and so there's been a couple of races on already, but I'm not a NASCAR fan. I didn't watch those. And so we're not even tempted to sit down and watch a golf tournament on Sunday afternoon, or are tempted to watch a baseball game, or have those kind of things that we have enjoyed before. My point is that we've gone through a process of so many things being eliminated from our lives that maybe it's caused me to stop and to think, how many of these things are really critical? And I miss them, some of them, but what, kind of taking a restock of our lives and of our shed. What's in your shed? What can you clean out? Hopefully very soon we can get back to normal. What's the new normal going to look like? There's been a lot of talk about that. What's the new normal going to look like? Well, most of that conversation has been in the context of what's the new normal going to look like for America. How long are people going to be wearing face masks? In my trips to China, I've noticed because of some other health problems there, wearing a face mask is very common, has been for years. I'm not saying the majority of people on the streets do, but every time you go out, there are some people wearing face masks because of the air pollution or because of the fear of certain viruses or things in their culture. What's the new normal going to look like here? Is that going to be more common to see people wearing face masks? Are we going to ever go back to having restaurants so crowded that you bump your neighbor behind you, like at Cracker Barrel that we've been doing for years? What's it going to look like? What's the new normal going to look like? And as we think about our lives and the metaphor and thinking about the next few years in my Christian life, what's it going to look like? Will we just, when this is over, cram everything back into our shed that we had there before? Are we going to learn any lessons from the last few months? How do you feel about lessons maybe you've learned in the last few months? Will we go through and really make some space in our shed for some new things or some better things that maybe we've learned? Are we willing to eliminate the trash and the unnecessary things in our life? And so, before I finish, quickly, a four-step process for cleaning out our spiritual sheds. First of all, pull everything out and reassess the stuff in your life. That's the first step, and maybe this process that we've gone through has helped us to do that. It's caused us, it's forced us to do that. What's really important? What's really important in my life? Many passages from Scripture, of course, remind us of what's really important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seeking God should be first, and sometimes we allow the things of this world to crowd it out. Jesus, in the parable of the sower, talked about some who had obeyed the gospel, and yet the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches had choked them out and made them unfruitful. Is that our case? Have we allowed, maybe this has helped us to stop and to think, have we allowed the things of this world, the riches of this world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches? I remember Brother Sewell Hall preaching on this lesson many years ago when we had him for a meeting in Minnesota and talking about that parable there in Matthew chapter 13. And the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And he said something that's always stuck with me. He said, you know, keeping a nice lawn can be a care of this world. What was he saying? He wasn't just picking on that. He listened to other things, but that one jumped out to me for some reason. Not that I have such a nice lawn. But it jumped out. What did he mean that having a nice lawn and garden can be a care of this world? Well, we can. You wouldn't look at mine. I don't do this. But you could put so much time and effort into your lawn, and you put so much money into it. That's the most important thing to you, or it's something you enjoy, and you just do that, and other things slip by, other things that are more important spiritually. If you don't study your Bible, if you don't care, take care of your neighbors, if you don't reach out to brothers and sisters and encourage them, if you're isolated in your house and just take care, that can become a care of this world. It can become so important to you that other things get choked out. So that's what we're talking about. What's really important? And what is just extra and fun and enjoyable and not critical? Well, there are some things that are critical. And those critical things we still have to do. We need to put them back in the shed. There are some things that have to go back in the shed. Worship assemblies go back in the shed. That's a number one thing. That's an essential thing. My relationship with brothers and sisters, my relationship with God. If anything else, this time of being away from people has caused us to understand how much we have missed those assemblies together. I saw a preacher online a few weeks ago when this first started, and we started having lessons like this on Facebook or on the internet, and he was kind of bemoaning all of it, and we were all bemoaning it, but saying, you know, I think when this thing is over, people are never going to want to come back to church again. They're just going to want us to, and I'm putting my words into his mouth here a little bit, but just to pump in the services to them at home from now on. And the longer this has gone on, the more it's caused me to think, no, that's not going to happen. Well, there may be a few who want to just stay home. But the people I've talked to in our congregation, we can't wait to get back. As my wife says, we miss the hugs. We miss being with brothers and sisters. We miss that time together in the assembly. And so I don't think this little experiment is going to cause people to want to, those who are truly spiritual, stop assembling with brothers and sisters. And so that's a given. That goes back in the shed. Work obviously goes back in the shed. If you've been laid off because of this, you need to get back to work, and you will get back to work, and hopefully you are back to work. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about that we are to labor, working with our hands. Him that stole, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. And so we understand the importance of providing for our family. He that doesn't do that is worse than an infidel, 1 Timothy. All those passages, all those things we know. And so work has to go back in. And family obligations. We're to nurture our children, Ephesians 6, verse 4, in the chastening and the admonition of the Lord. And so there's family obligations. And our children enjoy the Scouts. And our children enjoy sports. And they're going to be back in school, or maybe you homeschool. But the point is that even with all of that, there's activities involved in with our children. Some of our grandchildren are homeschooled, but they still have activities with other families and their homeschool groups, and all those are good things. But all I'm saying is that all of these things are going to go back in to the shed. But even then, isn't there opportunity to trim? And maybe that's one lesson we need to learn from this. And so the point number two is get rid of things that are unnecessary or harmful. Certainly harmful. If you were going through the shed and cleaning out the shed and you found a knife or you found a gun, what would you do? Well, you'd secure it. You'd say, man, I forgot that was in there. I need to secure that. The kids come in there, they could get hurt, they could cut. And so the first thing to do, if you find something in your shed, as you're examining your life through the COVID-19 situation, if you find something that's spiritually harmful, get rid of it. Get rid of it. That's a no-brainer. But secondly, you might find some things that are just unnecessary. Chris in his podcast was talking about the fact that they started looking at all the baseball equipment and all of the golf clubs. His son is a golfer and enjoys that very much, and they collected golf clubs through the years, and he said, we had more than we needed. We put some on eBay. We decided to clean out the shed. Get rid of some of those golf clubs that we weren't using and put them on eBay. I think he said he sold a dozen or two golf clubs on eBay or somewhere online. Look at your pile of stuff. And in your spiritual life, look at your pile of stuff. What are you doing? Can we trim back in some areas? We don't have to eliminate all the kids' activities, but maybe we need to trim back a little bit. And maybe there's a hobby or a recreation activity, something that you enjoy doing. Maybe you need to stick it at the back of the shed and not do it for a while. Maybe you don't throw it away, but maybe you stick it at the back of the shed and don't do it for a while. Many of you know, because I talk about it from time to time, that I enjoy playing golf. And I've enjoyed playing golf since we moved to Florida and have summer all year long, or nice weather all year long. But there were a number of years when our kids were growing up, I didn't play at all, hardly. I might play once a summer, not even that sometimes. Why? Because we got so busy with they caked the priority. I never thought about this illustration. I wasn't cleaning out my shed necessarily, but out of necessity, I just didn't play golf. I didn't have the time for it. Other things were more important, and sometimes we have to do that, maybe intentionally do that. There may be something in your life that you enjoy doing, like golf, or like painting, or Becky's mother does an excellent painter, has painted many things through the years, many paintings through the years. We have a number of them in our house. But during the busy years of raising her children, she couldn't do as much as she could do later after the kids left home. We all sometimes need to set aside things that maybe are less important to do the more important. So examine your shed. Examine your life. What are things that you can cut back on or you can trim? Trim things to make room for the more important stuff. You want to make room for the new things that you have discovered. Chris talked about that during this COVID time, he spent more time with the family, riding bikes, taking walks together, doing puzzles, watching good movies, quality things, not having all the activities, not having the baseball, the little league games, not having those other things, allowed them to spend more family time and caused him to realize they need to keep doing that. That's something they want to keep doing. And maybe there are things that have come up during this time that have caused you to think that, you know, this I don't want this to change. I don't want this to change. This has been really good. Becky and I, for a number of years, have done our daily Bible readings. But you know, maybe like a lot of you, we get busy and then we fall down on it. Well, you know, this last month, we haven't fallen down on it. In fact, we're ahead. I don't think we've ever been ahead in our lives. But we're several days ahead on our daily Bible readings. But we've been taking that time every day and making sure we do that, and we have extra time. We don't have this pulling at us and that pulling at us. And I don't want that to change. That's one thing I want to put back in my shed. Spending that time with the Bible reading, making sure I get it done and not get busy and let it fall to the wayside like I have so many times. At the beginning of the COVID-19, Becky couldn't go see her mother. She lives in Tampa, as most of you know, just 35 minutes away. But she was not able to go see her for the first little bit because Becky was still working at school and was around people potentially that were sick, and we didn't want her mother to get sick and all those things. But now, being isolated, after a couple weeks being isolated, she can go see her mother again. In the last week or two, she's been spending more time over there, and I'm thrilled about that. I'm happy. We need to keep that going. It's been good for Louise. It's been good for Becky. We just get too busy to spend the time sometime that we should with certain people. She's 91 years old. She's not going to be around forever. She may outlive me, but she's not going to be around forever. And so let's put first things first and remember the important things. I've been watching. I know this will be a thrill to all of you out there. And you'll be calling. I'm sure the phone will be ringing off the hook to find out what church history website I've been looking at. But I found some videos from a fellow who teaches history at some college, and he'd done a really good job on them, and I've been enjoying watching those. These are all just illustrations of maybe things that we have picked up or we've observed in our lives, and as you clean out your shed, be thinking, what have I learned this last month? And as I put my life back together post-COVID-19, what is there that I want to make time for? What new things do I need to include in my shed? And where do I want to trim? Trimming gets really difficult. I don't know how many times that we went through that basement in Minnesota and we were going to clean it up. And I think we always thought there's some things we can get rid of and we're going to have more space here. But then suddenly we started realizing we can't throw that away. We can't throw that away. We can't throw that away. I laugh when I see there's a commercial about it. I think it's about a phone commercial, and a gal has gotten her dad a phone. He's talking on the jitterbug phone or whatever to his daughter. But the scene of the commercial is she's talked him into having a lawn sale, a garage sale, to get rid of some of his stuff. And he's sitting there talking on his phone with his daughter, and the daughter's, how's it going? Oh, it's going great. People love my stuff. But every person that comes up to him, they say, how much for this? And he says, oh, no, I couldn't part with that. Someone else walks up and says, hey, how much you want? No, I just couldn't part with that. He hadn't sold anything. He can't get rid of anything. And he didn't really want to have a lawn sale, I guess. But that's the way we go through our junk drawer. Well, I can't get rid of that. Oh, I can't get rid of that. I may need that someday. Trimming is difficult because we look at these things. Well, that still has value. There might be that one time in a million years I'll need that thing, and I don't want to let go of it. And so trimming is oftentimes difficult. We go back to work. We said these things are going back in the shed. Work, kids' activities, home projects, social outings. We're going to be doing some of these things, but the question that I'm challenging with you is how do we trim? I'm not talking about eliminating. I'm just talking about trimming them. How do we trim them back a little bit? Maybe I don't need to work all that overtime. Maybe less activities for me. Not talking about cutting out activities. We had some friends in Minnesota. They were very wise about this. Their kids were involved in just too much stuff. Their kids were doing 2 and 3 and 4 activities every year, scouting and soccer and softball. And they went through the list, and they finally said, this is too much. You get to pick one activity. I was very proud of them. You pick one activity a year, and you may think that's too draconian, but they said one activity a year with their 3 boys, and their home life, they said, was much more peaceful. They spent more time together doing stuff at home. They weren't running around like chickens with their heads cut off, 12 months out of the year to all these practices and events and games. We can cut. We can trim. And so let's look at our lives and see if we can do that. And then put back your stuff. Once you've gone through and you've thrown away the trash and you've trimmed back on some of the things, then put your stuff back carefully and prayerfully. Paul says in Ephesians 5:15, look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Let's be wise and let's be careful in our evaluation of these things. And let's be intentional. You hear that talked about a lot today in different circles. Living life intentionally. Piece by piece, putting back, examining each one, making sure you really want it in your shed. You really have to have it in your shed. Don't just stumble along. Just don't let the current take you down the river. As someone said, even a dead fish can go with the flow. And so let's be intentional in our lives. Well, by way of review quickly, what's your new normal going to look like? Examine your shed. Examine your life. Reevaluate the things in your life. Think of lessons that you've learned the past 2 or 3 months. Of things that maybe you can really do without, that you thought were essential, but suddenly after a couple of months you don't miss them that much. Or you realize they're not really that important. Or some new things that you've been doing that you think are really great that you need to include in your time. Ask what changes that you can make. And be careful and wise and intentional as you mold your new normal. before we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, I want to read a passage from Luke chapter 1 and read verses 67 through 75. As you can tell, this is a very long chapter here. Luke chapter 1 has 80 verses total. And this is the story, of course, of the birth of John the Baptizer and how that his father, Zacharias, had not been able to speak since the time of the prophecy or the time that the angel had appeared unto Zacharias. And now the child has been born, and now it's the day of the naming of the child. And, of course, Elizabeth says his name is John, is going to be John, and some of the relatives were confused. We have no relatives by that name. And Zacharias, of course, takes the pad or tablet, whatever the proper word there is, and writes his name is John. And his tongue was loosed, and he was filled with the Spirit of God. And in verse 67 through 75, we see the prophecy concerning Zacharias, concerning John and Jesus. And of course, the first prophecy, the first part of the prophecy, is about the Lord Jesus. And then beginning in 76, he begins to talk about that you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. But I want to read about the coming of the Messiah, the work that the Messiah would do, in our thoughts about the Lord's Supper this morning. Verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he hath visited and wrought redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old, salvation from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to show mercy towards our fathers, and to remember the holy covenant, the oath which he swore unto Abraham our father, to grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, should serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. Zacharias says, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and wrought redemption for his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. God sent his son. And of course, it had been prophesied, it had been planned. It had been planned by God from the very beginning of time. And as we begin to open up the story of the Old Testament, it becomes clear very quickly that someone special is going to be coming. To Abraham, and he mentions the covenant to Abraham here. It had been mentioned back in the garden, in the curses and after the sin of Adam and Eve, the curse upon the serpent. And of course, there is that starlight prophecy there in Genesis chapter 3:15 of the coming of one who would defeat Satan. But more clearly, the prophecies begin with Abraham and the promise that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And though for many years Israel did not understand that, and it would take generations. And really, it would take for the coming of Jesus himself and the explanation of these things for people to fully understand. But from the beginning, God had a plan to send his son into the world to bring redemption for his people. God has visited his people. God visited his people in the coming of his son Jesus. Through the house of his servant David, through the family of David, as he had said in the prophets of old. God has brought victory over our enemies. Verse 71, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us. And he's not talking with the case of the Messiah as our physical enemies, but our spiritual enemies. And the fact that we can be victorious over our enemies. We can be victorious over sin and over Satan and over the bondage and over the guilt and all that is brought upon us because of that terrible consequence of sin. We can have victory over our enemies because of what God did in visiting his people and sending his son into the world. And so Zechariah's prophecy, again, is beginning to tell about this wonderful redemption that we can have through Jesus. How that he would shed his blood. How that he would give his life as a ransom for many. We can have the victory over sin and death. We can have the victory over Satan and temptation. It comes through Jesus. The forgiveness that he makes possible, his instructions and his guidance and his word as we overcome temptation in this life, all of that is made possible because God has visited his people. At this time, we're going to remember how important this is to us in the death of Jesus. As we remember his death and his suffering for us with the Lord's Supper, the bread, and the fruit of the vine. Will you bow with me, please, as we give thanks for the bread? Our Father, we're thankful to you for this Lord's Day. And even though physically separated, we're thankful that we can be connected in this way today. We ask your blessings, Father, upon us and upon all those who partake of this bread today. Help us, Father, to remember each day that we live the life of your Son and the death that he died for us. We thank you, Father, for visiting your people, for bringing your Son into the world, that he might give his life as a ransom for many. Help us to partake of this in a way that will be pleasing unto you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Let us give thanks for the cup. In like manner, Father, we are so thankful also for this cup, the fruit of the vine, as it brings to our minds, reminds us of the shed blood of your Son, and the hope that we can have through him because of his shed blood. You have taught us that without the shedding of blood there is no remission, and that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. That took the precious blood of your Son that we might be forgiven and have the hope of life eternal. We pray, Father, that you bless us now as we partake of this cup. In Jesus we pray. I have two or three more songs to play for you. Actually, I can't remember if I did two more or three more. It's terrible getting old. But we will do that in just a moment. Just a reminder again for our own brothers and sisters, or for anyone who wants to listen. This afternoon I'll be doing another lesson. We will not be doing that here on Facebook live, but I'll be recording the lesson and putting it on the website. So go to our website, mylakelandchurch.com. Don't come here. You won't find it here on Facebook. But go to the website, mylakelandchurch.com, and under the sermons section, I will be loading this sermon on there this afternoon. And then by 5 o'clock, 5:30, I plan to have it done by 5. But it just depends on how long my nap is. But I'll have it on by later this afternoon, and another lesson for you there at that time. Thank you again for listening. Don't forget to plan to restart next Sunday morning, 9:30, 10:30. Wear your face masks on your way in. We'll take extra precautions as far as keeping things clean, sitting 6 feet apart, leaving a row in between so that those serving the Lord's Supper can walk in those rows between everyone. I think we can spread out. I think it'll be just fine. So we will be planning on that and doing that, God willing, next Sunday.
Safe on the mountain, I too shall stand. Hilltops of glory high.
I'll send out an email about that. What's that? Oh, there it is, yeah.
We got confused on the ladies' class.
Oh, well,
wow, it's easy to do. So I've had people come in.
We only meet once a month. That's so easy.
I know.
We've had people come in. Bonnie came in one Sunday morning and we started class. And she's like, I didn't want to do my class. You know, I did the wrong one.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed. I'll have my class lesson never come. I did the wrong one.
And sometimes you'll skip ahead. We did that on Wednesday.
I don't know when they leave. Mm-hmm. They may be waiting to leave on Saturday. I don't know. But he said on Sunday they'll be gone to their time.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know when it starts.
I'll call them. If not, maybe I'll ask Ron and Margaret.
Yeah.
We'll have to try to be sick. Get back easy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's best.
I was going to say, I am going to put hand at the party back in my shed.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I like that little podcast I listened to and thought I would just share it with everybody. I thought it was pretty good. Uh-huh. Well, and we realized Becky was looking at it on her phone or whatever, you know, kind of monitoring what was going on her phone, and she realized that I had all the words on there, but that last song is kind of a bonus song. I didn't have the words up there. I just decided to play it. Well, when the screen went to black, you could kind of see us, a reflection of us in the background. I don't know if y'all noticed that or not, but yeah. So I figured, well, it's not the end of the world. Yeah. I cut it off. I didn't do a dismissal prayer with everybody, but I figured everybody could do their own. So we had plenty of help. If we were there 2 or 3 hours. We started about, well, some of us started at 9. Bonnie, I had said in the email 10 o'clock, so Bonnie and Becky came at 10, a little after 10. But the Harold came, and Steve, Ron Mackey. So anyway, it's just putting plates back on, putting furniture back around, general straightening up, and we were gone by noon. So. Okay, do that. Plan on that. I'll tell. Yeah. I want you to. Steve, in fact, the timing is not good for Steve and Mary. Their timeshare is next week, so they're going to be gone next Sunday. But Britt and I will be there, and so I'll do the Bible class lesson. Britt's going to preach the sermon, and I will. If Tyler's there, Tyler can lead the singing. If not, I'll lead the singing, and you can do the table. Stream it on Facebook in the same way that we've been doing it, but we're going to have to play with it and find out, you know, how we can best arrange it there at the building to make it look decent. So we're going to play with that a little bit this week, because I want to do it from start to finish. Maybe not the first hour, but for sure the second hour, from 10:30 to 11:30 or whenever we go. I want to be sure to get that on the Facebook feed, so that, because I've had some people, the Spooners have already said she has some ongoing health problems with her lungs, and so she said they're not going to come back right at first because of concern about her lungs, and if she catches it, she's gone. And the same with, I think there's a, I said I wasn't sure about Tyler and Katie, because Katie is a little leery still, too, so they may not be there the first couple of weeks. And then Mary and Linda. few couples who make the choice not to get back immediately, and that's fine. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we appreciate that. So have y'all been getting out any?